You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
After Juwan James suffered a season-ending Achilles injury in an off-season workout, the Denver Broncos' depth at tackle has now been brought into question. What options do the Broncos have, and could they look to bring in somebody off the free agency market? Plus, we get into a crossover episode with Locked On Bama's Luke Robinson on the Broncos' draft selection of Patrick Surtain with the 9th overall pick in the 2021 NFL Draft. On today's episode, Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast here on the Locked On NFL Network, your team every day from the South Stands to the end zone. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, senior NFL analyst at Pro Football Network and Broncos analyst for the Locked On NFL Network. You can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. You can follow the podcast at Locked On Broncos. Make sure you follow the podcast or subscribe on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and the Odyssey app, as well as go to YouTube. Type in Locked On Broncos, hit subscribe. We have 3,620 subscribers as is, but you will soon get the Locked On Broncos podcast in video format as well every single day. And be sure to also check out the Peacock and Williamson show as Brian Peacock and Matt Williamson bring you the latest news around the National Football League. But ladies and gentlemen, a lot of craziness has happened over the last 24 hours. Broncos offensive tackle Juwan James has suffered a season-ending Achilles injury. This was an injury that occurred, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, in an offseason workout away from the team facility. And in 2021, Juwan James was expected to make $10 million guaranteed, but because this injury had occurred away from the team's facility, that $10 million guarantee is now potentially voidable by the Broncos organization, and that's something that we're going to have to wait and see if George Payton, the organization, do. James has been back at the team facility, and then as a union stance, decided to work away at a private facility, and this is where the injury occurred. So now his guaranteed contract has a chance to be voidable at this point in time, and it puts the Broncos in a little bit of a pickle after the NFL draft. But the good news for Denver when it comes to the overall depth at the tackle position, this now puts Calvin Anderson as the favorite to start at the right tackle position this upcoming season, but also to expect that they will look at the free agency market for some potential tackle options to bring in. And when we take a look at the free agency market as is right now, if the Broncos are looking for an offensive tackle on the market, there's Dennis Kelly, who formerly played for the Tennessee Titans. He's 31 years of age at right tackle. There's Ricky Wagner, who played in Green Bay, 32 years of age. Damar Dotson, who the Broncos had last year, is another option. He's 36 years old, though not sure if you want that, but maybe the familiarity with him being in the system already might be something that the Broncos use as an insurance policy. He wouldn't be the starter. More than likely, it would be Calvin Anderson at this point. Former Indianapolis Colts tackle LaRaven Clark is an option for the Broncos. Marshall Newhouse, formerly of the Tennessee Titans. Marcus Gilbert is an option, formerly of the Arizona Cardinals. And Jermaine Ifedi from the Chicago Bears, he might be an option as well. But then there's Charles Leno, who's just released by the Chicago Bears. Denver could look into him. There's been no interest as of yet, as Benjamin Albright has reported out of KOA and Broncos Country Tonight. The Broncos have not yet inquired about Charles Leno, but it's certainly a possibility. George Payton is expected to get on the phones and to see what options are out there. But the Broncos do have some offensive tackle depth as is, but not necessarily guys you're necessarily comfortable saying, hey, okay, we're going into the season with Calvin Anderson as our starter, but these are the guys behind him. And we're talking about Quinn Bailey, who was on the practice squad for the Broncos last year. And there's an offensive tackle who was undrafted. He's a 6'9" rookie, and Drew Himmelman. He might be an option in terms of depth, but I don't think he's going to be in the mix right now. So Denver will look to the free agency market to find another tackle option, and they have a lot of time, and the timing between now and training camp is a better situation for the Broncos to be in considering this injury. We knew leading up to the season last year that Juwan James was opting out, so Elijah Wilkinson and Calvin Anderson were the two options there for the Broncos. They go out and they signed Damar Dotson as a veteran guy. He ended up getting some starts in the season, but now Denver's looking towards the future. Calvin Anderson, he's 25 years old. This is his third season in the National Football League. He proved to the Broncos last year he could be valuable. He started against the Las Vegas Raiders, and he did pretty good. A couple mistakes here and there, but then he was able to start the left tackle position against the Carolina Panthers due to Garrett Bowles having to sit out due to potential COVID protocols, mainly related due to him having food poisoning. So Calvin started at left tackle, and he did a really good job. He held his own. Mike Munchak has kept him on the active roster for the last two seasons, which tells you he sees something in Calvin Anderson and is kind of his secret weapon to stash away, as we've talked about here on the podcast. So the Broncos more than likely will look at Calvin Anderson, the favorite right now to start at the right tackle position on paper ahead of the 2021 NFL season, but will address the depth at that position with a free agency move or potentially a trade at some point. A trade seems a little bit less likely at this point, considering there are some veteran free agent options out there, and obviously with Charles Leno being released, they could bring him in. He'd obviously have to slide over to the right tackle spot for the Broncos if that were the case. But Broncos country, this changes everything, and it will be interesting to see whether or not George Payton decides to void the $10 million guaranteed in Juwan James' contract. And this is one of those risks of a union stance by the NFLPA side of things. When you work away from the team facility and something bad happens, you are not protected. Your money is not protected, and that's in every player's NFL contract. That is definitely an issue, and now Juwan James is going to not play in 2021, and his career could potentially be over. Obviously, I feel very bummed out for Juwan James. He was coming back this season. He was hoping to play. He was hoping to contribute at a high level, but obviously due to the history of him only playing 63 total snaps in 2 years, that is a huge blemish and probably one of the worst free agency signings for the Broncos in recent team history. And now they have to figure out what their options are at tackle, just beyond Calvin Anderson, but depth behind him this upcoming season. But coming up here in just a moment, we're going to get into our crossover episode with Locked On Bama. But before we do that, folks, I got to tell you guys about the two sponsors of today's episode of the show. It's good friends over there at NuGenix and our good friends over there at 1010. So Broncos fans, listen up. NuGenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC, is offering a complimentary bottle to all football fans in America. And to get your complimentary bottle of NuGenix Total T, text DRAFT to 231-231. And this unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone and total testosterone levels and increases energy and lean muscle mass. Plus, if you text now, they'll include a bottle of NuGenix Thermo, their most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you get back into shape absolutely free. Text DRAFT to 231-231. That's DRAFT to 231-231. Message and data rates apply. And this episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. And 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today, with rings sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring that's ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece, and they're the perfect way to bring light into her life. And they're available now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. All you got to do, search the words 10 by 10. This collection features high quality, fine jewelry that will surprise and delight, and fairly priced, so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. And if you're on the hunt for the perfect unique ring that she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, though, so find them now by searching for the words 10 by 10 only at BlueNile.com. And now getting into our crossover series here with Locked On Bama host Luke Robinson, and talking with Luke about Patrick Surtain, the Broncos' ninth overall selection in the 2021 NFL Draft. And Luke, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to join me. I'm going to start things off here. Patrick Surtain, he's an All-American player last year, but in the long scheme of things, what type of impact did he have in Nick Saban's defense down there in Alabama?
I think Pat Surtain can have immediate impact in the NFL. Look, he had a huge impact with Alabama. There's no doubt about it. He started as a freshman a couple of games into his freshman year. He came in very highly touted, and I think he's going to make a big-time impact with the Broncos. There's no doubt about it. I read a little bit about what the general manager thought of him and really how they played a game with the draft, trying to maybe give a smokescreen that they weren't looking at Pat Surtain quite as much. And they were very happy when Pat Surtain fell to the Broncos. So again, I think the Broncos targeted him early and they want to keep him on this team and make sure he's a star player. And I think he can be a star player in the NFL, there's no doubt.
I've been watching a lot of the All-22 tape that I got on Surtain, and I tell you what, he's such a fun player to watch, whether he's getting action thrown to him from quarterbacks and targeting him, or receivers that he's covering, even away when they're targeting other cornerbacks or they're running to the other side. Just watching his technique, his footwork, just his traits, he's smart. You can tell that he moves back and forth. He's a fun player to watch. Now, the question I have for you is, despite the fact that he's lengthy, has speed, he's physical, technically sound, when you compare him to maybe some other Alabama cornerbacks that are in the NFL, where would you rank him amongst those former Bama cornerbacks that are now in the National Football League?
The way I'd rank him against other Alabama defensive backs that are in the league now, you know, this is going to be a this is going to be a throwback for some of you guys, but you know, I feel like he's kind of Dre Kirkpatrick. That isn't as much of a throwback as I wanted it to be. I would say, boy, going back, maybe a Simeon Castile, but an upgrade over Simeon Castile for those who don't remember him at Alabama. I could even go back to say Antonio Langham, even though Pat Surtain's bigger than Langham. I feel like Surtain is a great man-to-man, press man-to-man guy like Langham was. And, you know, I guess Dre Kirkpatrick is probably the closest to what I would say, who would he compare to from Saban's system? Dre Kirkpatrick kind of the same way, rangy, speedy enough. Not a blazer necessarily, but speedy enough. Long arms that can defend the pass. And Dre Kirkpatrick's had a very nice career in the NFL. You know, he's bounced around a few teams. But, man, he's been in the league for quite some time, all the way dating back to 2011. So Dre Kirkpatrick has had a very nice career. And I think Pat Surtain will at least have that kind of career, probably even better.
Well, I know that's the hope for the Broncos, especially when you take a flyer on a first-round draft pick, and his talent speaks for itself. It's super fun to watch. Now, there's some questions that some Broncos fans have pertaining to what type of coverage does he excel best in? And looking back at his time at Alabama, they run a combination of cover four, cover two, man. There's times where they run cover zero. What type of coverage does Patrick Surtain thrive in?
His particular coverage that he's best in is press man. I talked about that a second ago. And, you know, he's not going to be great against playing the smaller receivers. He's not going to be great playing a guy that is very speedy. He's not going to be good against Tyreek Hill. He's not going to be, but who is? You know, Tyreek Hill is a freak of nature. He's very small, quick twitch guy. And that's not Patrick Surtain's game. He's more of a, he can guard the outside, and he, again, very rangy, very long. He will get beat a couple of times. Look, he got beaten in the SEC championship game for about a 50-yard touchdown, if I remember right. He got beaten in the Tennessee game this past year for about a 40-yard touchdown. But it was one of those situations where, look, sometimes a receiver just goes up and makes a play, right? And in the NFL, especially, that's going to happen. And in the SEC, which is the NFL light. So I feel like Pat Surtain, his strengths are going to be, he's going to help a lot in run stops. There's no doubt about it. He's going to be great at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, he's not necessarily going to be fantastic when he's lined up against somebody a lot smaller than him. But there's some big receivers in this league. And when you play a dude like A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, man, you need a bigger defensive back to cover those guys that's fast enough. And Pat Surtain, not known as a blazer, but he's definitely fast enough, and his ball skills are incredible. I think they're some of the best in the Saban era. You know, go back to somebody like Landon Collins even. Pat Surtain has the lineage, the background to know how to take on some of these NFL receivers, there's no doubt.
And that's one thing, too, I want to talk to fans about, and I've talked about, especially with Michael Ojemudia being on the Broncos roster. Obviously, the Broncos' third-round selection last year in the NFL draft, but you are going to give up touchdowns at times. The age of the shutdown, lockdown, zero catches on 15 targets types cornerbacks, I don't think that exists anymore the way that we saw it with the Champ Baileys and the Darrell Revises. I don't know if that type of cornerback is around because the NFL offense has evolved so much. So I think for where Patrick Surtain is at, and especially being aligned to Vic Fangio's system, in the AFC West, when you're going to guard bigger guys like Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, I think he does match up really well against those types of players, and maybe even a Travis Kelce and a Darren Waller. I'm going to save. I actually have a question for you about that coming up here in a moment. But before we do that, I got to tell Broncos fans about the two sponsors of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. They're good friends over there, BetOnline.ag and Built Bar. And with BetOnline.ag, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. And baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. You get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including including the MLB, the NBA, the NHL, and all of your UFC and MMA action. So before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. You don't have to sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use promo code LOCKEDON. That's one word, locked on. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And our good friends over there at Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar out there. And did you know that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors plus the occasional limited time flavor? And I like peanut butter brownie. I like double chocolate and salted caramel. Each taste has its own unique blend and I love it. It's tasty. It tastes legitimately like a candy bar because the bars are made out of 100% chocolate. And if you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mix box where you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. And not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. And most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, only around 130 calories, and only 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams net carbs. And a couple of the other flavors have 18 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs, but 9 flavors that are amazing. They're all tasty, and they're all healthy. And order today and get that raspberry or mint brownie or whatever you like. And before Mother's Day on May 9th, if you don't know what to get your mom for Mother's Day, well, most moms I know love Built Bar, so send her a box and you're sure to be her favorite, at least for a while, until you get her the next box of Built Bars. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your first order when you use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. And now continuing our crossover with Luke Robinson of Locked On Bama. And Luke, kind of carrying off from the conversation we were just having, one of the questions that some Broncos fans sent in was whether or not Patrick Surtain can play inside the slot, especially in Vic Fangio's defense, where it usually requires their cornerbacks to be able to know both positions inside and outside.
I mentioned this earlier. Can he play in the slot? Look, I don't know that that's going to be his strong suit. I'm, again, just calling a spade a spade. I think a lot of times when you get guys that cover a certain team, they love to say, oh, yeah, he can cover the slot. But that's not really his bag. I just don't feel like that's going to be something you want him doing a lot. I mentioned Tyreek Hill a little bit earlier. Look, if, for instance, another Alabama guy, if Pat Surtain had to guard Jalen Waddle, I don't think that would go well for Surtain as much. But Waddle, again, a freak of nature. I mean, he's short, he's shifty, he can, you know, cut on a dime, and he's very fast. So I think all the things that he would target all of Surtain's weaknesses, I should say. But that doesn't mean he's not good in that area. It's just not where I'd want him to be. That's not his strong suit. So I feel like you won't see him in that position very often.
And maybe with the Broncos' depth at cornerback as it is right now with Kyle Fuller, Ronald Darby, Bryce Callahan, he probably won't have to slide there, especially if Asang Bassey comes back. I imagine he's going to be the key guy on the outside in most of their packages. I mean, I still project him to be a cornerback one fit eventually, whether it be this year or even next season. His traits are really hard to ignore, and he elevates that room, I think, with his talent alone. Now, the one question I do want to ask, going back, he started as a true freshman. Now, it's very hard, in my opinion, and historically what we've seen. What was it that led to him starting as a true freshman in Nick Saban's defense? Because we know that a lot of guys have to earn that trust from Nick Saban.
Okay, Pat Surtain, when he was a true freshman, he comes in much ballyhooed, you know, obviously from Plantation, Florida. He was on the same high school team, I believe, with Tyson Campbell, who was drafted by the Jacksonville Jaguars. He played at Georgia. Again, just what an incredible defensive backfield in high school, right? But so going back to his true freshman year, and I was at this game in Oxford, Mississippi. It was a ton of fun. Alabama and Mississippi are facing off against one another. Mississippi comes out and throws a bomb. I want to say it was to DK Metcalf, if I remember correctly, for a touchdown right off the bat. And turns out that was the only touchdown Mississippi scored, because what happened was Alabama substituted the defender, who's, I think it was Savion Smith, who has been in the league. I'm not sure if he's in the league right this minute. I think he is, but he's been in the league for quite some time, or at least a few years. And so Pat Surtain comes in, and hey, Alabama ends up winning the game either 62-7 or 63-7. I can't remember. Of course, that game was never going to be close regardless, and it may just all be totally coincidental, and probably is, that after Surtain comes in, Mississippi doesn't score again. But at the same time, I think it certainly helped set a tone. And Pat Surtain, once he got in there, he just wasn't coming out. He's just another one of those talented dudes. And that's what's great about coming in and playing at Alabama. If you're, even if you're a freshman, if you're talented enough, if you're good enough, Saban's going to play you. He, you know, yes, he's loyal to upperclassmen to an extent, but you know, if you're Pat Surtain, you're going to get on the field and you're going to get on the field early because he's going to take nothing less than that. The Surtain is a very competitive dude.
One, it's evident you can see that on the film with him. I'm a defensive back. I'm a cornerback guy. I live, breathe, study it, have played the position my whole life, and I love watching. I love diving into that, and I definitely see those traits with him. He's very competitive, hyper-competitive, and with his traits alone, I feel like it will elevate the Broncos DB room, as I said earlier. But I got one question from a Broncos fan, and he was reading some scouting reports. He said, is Pat Surtain as bad in off coverage as I hear that he is? Which, to me, I find a little surprising. I'm eager for your thoughts on this.
Okay, you know, is he as bad on off coverage? Look, I just hate to put it that way. Again, I think he could have some problems there. There's no doubt. But I don't think Surtain's going to be bad at anything. Will he give up some plays? Certainly. I mean, the best defensive backs give up some plays. But I just don't think he's the kind of cat that's bad at anything he does. Pat Surtain is competitive. He's a leader. Trust me on this. He is one of the leaders of Alabama's defense. Very quiet leader. I wouldn't call him the most vocal guy. He was SEC Defensive Player of the Year. And, you know, he's like everybody else. He's got his strengths and weaknesses. I feel like he is a prototypical defensive back now. At the same time, you're going to need some smaller defensive backs, too, to match up against the smaller wide receivers. You know, it's a game of chess. Every time, you know, the league brings in a Julio Jones, where you need a bigger dude that's pretty fast to keep up with him, right? Well, if you bring in a Tyreek Hill, you need a smaller dude to keep up with him because he can cut on a dime, and you need a smaller dude that can do that, too. I mentioned this word earlier. Surtain is just not real twitchy. His instincts are fantastic, but he's not real twitchy. And I wouldn't say he's quick by average standards, but I wouldn't call him necessarily quick by defensive standards. And as I mentioned, he's certainly fast enough. I wouldn't call him a blazer, but I think his best qualities are the fact that he knows football. He knows the game of football, has a high football IQ. He's got super long arms, very instinctual. And he's a leader. I believe those are all his strong suits.
And inside the AFC West, the Broncos have to deal with Darren Waller, his sizable option, obviously, that he provides for the Las Vegas Raiders, and Travis Kelce, who continues to just defy odds in terms of production. He's really good against zone. He's really good against man coverage. He finds a way to manipulate defenses. He's deceptively quick for his size. Do you feel like Pat Surtain could be one of the options in Vic Fangio's defense where he will match up well against those guys?
Okay, you know, Denver is going to be playing the Darren Wallers, the Travis Kelce's. Can Pat Surtain match up against them? My answer is yes. I think he can. In fact, I think he's ready made to guard, especially a Waller, who I consider to be more of a deep threat than a Kelce. Even though Kelce, you know, can beat you 100 different ways, but I feel like Waller is maybe not quite as physical. I don't know the NFL as well, but what little I see of those two, I don't feel like Waller is quite as physical as Kelce, but probably a bit faster, more athletic. So, yeah, I think Pat Surtain is going to be a perfect matchup for those dudes. And again, that's another one of his strengths, where you're talking about missing out on a dude who can guard the slot. I think you gain somebody that can help you when it comes to guarding these tight ends. Two guys, by the way, that Denver sees a lot of. So I feel like that's another reason why it was so crucial to draft him. Because, look, you get somebody else to guard Tyreek Hill and put Surtain on Kelce if need be. I mean, I think that's something you're just going to have to do. But I really think that's a great matchup for him, guarding some of these big targets in the NFL. And these tight ends have become so freakishly athletic that you need somebody like a Surtain who's long enough, fast enough, and strong enough to body up with these guys. And at the same time, he can certainly keep up with somebody like a Darren Waller, who, again, is incredibly fast for somebody his size. In the end, I think Patrick Surtain is a great pick for Denver. look, I thought that's about where he'd go. I was like everybody else. I pegged him going to Dallas. But I feel like this is a great spot for him. Also want to mention Jerry Jeudy. I'm really high on Jerry Jeudy in his second year. I think you guys are going to be super excited about him. Look, he's only going to get better. Trust me on this. And I think Jeudy going up against Surtain every day in practice could be a lot of fun. Again, remember, Surtain faced off against Jalen Waddle, Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy. I mean, my goodness, he took on a lot of dudes. Devontae Smith, how did I leave him out? The Heisman Trophy winner. He played a lot of fantastic receivers that are all in the NFL now. And that I need to go unnoticed. He was also on the same team with guys like Irv Smith, who is obviously in the league with the Minnesota Vikings. So, again, he's going to have a lot of experience and come in sort of ready-made to play in the NFL. Also want to throw out a couple other things about some of the other guys on Denver. Mentioned Jerry Jeudy, but Seth Williams. This is a guy out of Auburn. Seen a lot of him. I think he's got real boom or bust potential. Either Denver got one of the steals of the draft, or we may never hear from Seth Williams again. I covered him, as I call a lot of high school championship games in basketball, in football here in the state of Alabama. And Seth Williams actually hails from Tuscaloosa. He played for a high school right there in Tuscaloosa, and he played for a state championship in basketball, and I got to see him then. And you want to talk about an athlete, my goodness. I've always told people, go check out Henry Ruggs' highlights in basketball from his time at Robert E. Lee. Do the same thing for Seth Williams in high school, and you will see in basketball, and you will see a dude that can absolutely get up. That was his specialty at Auburn, was the jump ball. Now, he needed to be specialized in the jump ball because Bo Nix isn't the most accurate quarterback, but he could go up there and fight for a ball. And if you can keep him focused, I think Seth Williams is going to be one of the steals of the draft. There's no doubt about it. The problem is going to be keeping him focused. And look, here's another knock. He went up against J.C. Horn, Auburn versus South Carolina this past year. And remember, South Carolina was putrid this past season, and South Carolina beat Auburn. J.C. Horn, who was drafted early in the NFL draft too, I think by Carolina, he won that battle one-on-one with Seth Williams and won it pretty easily. Now, Williams caught a pass or two, but he didn't do anything like J.C. Horn. J.C. Horn almost single-handedly won that game for South Carolina, and Auburn fans certainly remember that one not so fondly. But Seth Williams has had some great moments. Look, I think he had a fantastic catch over Pat Surtain, actually, in the 2019 Iron Bowl that ended up leading Auburn to a late score at the end of the first half, if I remember right. I was at that game too. I tried to block it out because Alabama lost on a doinked field goal, no less. But regardless, I think Seth Williams can be a good NFL player. I don't think he can ever be a superstar. I think he can be a good NFL player if you can keep him focused and make sure that his head's on straight the whole time, because he's got all the athletic ability in the world. And he didn't get a lot of great wide receiver coaching at Auburn. So if somebody can get a hold of him there in Denver, they can really coach this kid up, and he may be something. So thanks for having me. Everybody go check out Locked On Bama. Really appreciate the time, and hope to catch up with you again soon.
Once again, a major shout out to Luke Robinson, one of the hosts over there, Locked On Bama. You can get that podcast. You can listen to Luke talk about the Alabama Crimson Tide every single day on your favorite podcast provider. You can get Locked On Broncos, ladies and gentlemen, 5 days a week, all week long. Tomorrow's episode of the show, we're going to take a little bit of a look at the undrafted rookie free agents that the Broncos signed. Several signing bonuses and roster guarantees have already come through, which gives us a little bit of an idea as to maybe who has a better chance of making the active roster or being a practice squad player in 2021. Obviously, a big bummer about the news about Juwan James. I feel for him, and I hope that he has a speedy recovery in surgery, and I imagine he's probably going to evaluate his career options, and I wish him nothing but the best. But Broncos country, thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode of the show. If you're a brand new listener of the show today and you've made it all the way through this point and you love the show, please do me a favor, go through, hit that follow or subscribe button in your favorite podcast provider, and make sure you check out the podcast every single day. Monday through Friday, we bring you the daily Broncos news content and coverage that nobody else brings you in 30 minutes or less. But with that said, Broncos country, I'm Cody Rourke, host of the show. I'll see you tomorrow for a brand new episode, Locked On Broncos.